Anarchopreneur episode number 58, how to use villains and virtues to move people from victimhood to victory.
Government is inefficient and should be dissolved.
What government should actually do is just leave people alone to buy and sell freely among themselves. If they just leave self-interested traders to compete with one another, markets are guided to positive outcomes as if by an invisible hand.
It's free markets that are moral because you only succeed if you meet the needs and wants of other people.
One of the hard things for people to understand is that the more you try to control an economy, the more quickly it falls apart.
Capitalism. God's way of determining who is smart and who is poor.
Free Market Squad in the place to be. Welcome back to another exciting episode of Anarchopreneur, the Nathan Fraser Show. I am your host with the hero complex, the high priest of propaganda, Nathan Fraser. You, more importantly, you are the Free Market Squad. We're broadcasting on the Truth Frequency Radio Network, UCY.TV, LRN.FM. Of course, you can pick up more episodes of this here unprogramming over at NathanFraserShow.com. And check out the blog over at freemarketsquad.com. Okay, enough of that. Let's just jump right into the show. A real quick, I'm not going to bury the lead. I'm going to give you the lead right away. I'm going to be talking about how to use people's mindset of how to use villains and virtues and identify people's villains and virtues and use that to lead them from victimhood into victory. And I'm going to be approaching this from a sales angle, from a political angle, from my own personal angle. And we're going to start there. We're going to start with Nathan Fraserland. So let's just jump right into it.
I'm not a guru. I'm not an activist. I'm just an entrepreneur and an anarchist. Trying to be a leader and deal with haters, man. This is my life. Welcome to Nathan Fraserland.
All right. So for this week's Nathan Fraserland, we're not actually going to be covering any recent current events in my life. We're going to be taking a trip in the way, way, way back machine to childhood of Nathan Fraser. Guys, is it healthy to speak of yourself in the third person? Probably not. But Nathan Fraser does it anyways. So I grew up, maybe you knew this, maybe you don't, maybe this is new to you, but I grew up on welfare. I grew up very poor. My mom had horrible taste in men. Love my dad to death, but doesn't change the fact that he was an asshole. He was a drunk. He was drug addicted and a very abusive man, mainly for the early parts of my childhood. He kind of changed a lot, actually, in his later years. But growing up, we were not in the best of situations. We definitely were not born with silver spoons in our mouths. And we lived on welfare. We were definitely, both of my parents were Democrat voters, and we were taught all the virtues of the left. My dad was Reconquista and heavily into leftist communist propaganda from the leftist side of the Mexican culture that he came from. And I grew up believing very much having a victim of the system type mindset. I grew up not just from my parents, but from the world at large, the media, the schools, the politicians, being told over and over again that I was poor because I lived in a corrupt capitalist system that the rich people had stacked all the odds against us, that they had all the odds in their favor. Everything was stacked against us. And we were just victims of the system. And I grew up hating rich people, hating wealthy people, thinking that if you were wealthy, it was because you robbed people and you did horrible things to get your money, or you were a drug dealer. And that was very much the way that I looked at the world. The way that I was taught to look at the world was we were victims. And the rich were the villains. And I felt very entitled. I felt like society owed me because I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth. I wasn't born with all the privileges of other middle class or upper class white people. I figured that society owed me. And yes, my last name's Fraser. Yes, I have very pale skin, but my dad, my stepdad, I guess, the guy that raised me, I never knew my real father, but my stepdad, I can't even remember a time when he wasn't around. He was from, I think, 3 months on. He was my dad, and he was Mexican, and my grandpa, my mom's dad, is Native American, Chippewa. And so I was growing up poor in very lower class financially neighborhoods, and grew up with not very many white kids. In fact, a majority of the neighborhoods that I remember growing up in, I think maybe 2-3 other white families, and the whole rest of the neighborhoods were always black and Hispanic families. And so growing up, I didn't really see the world as a skin color kind of separation. I really saw the world as economics divisions. I saw I was very much one of those class warfare militant anarcho-communists, if I was to nail down my ideology, I would say anarcho-communist. Probably the first 20 years of my life would very accurately describe the way that I saw the world. And we felt entitled to things. We felt like the government, the tax system was there to take from the greedy, exploitative capitalists who my dad had to go and work, and we couldn't barely afford to get by. And my mom was on welfare, and I figured it was because rich people were just exploiting the working class. And thank God the government was there to keep them in check and to take away their profits and give them back to the working class and to the poor people. And I felt like I was owed. I felt like I was owed free school. I was owed free healthcare. I looked around and I saw kids with more things. I looked around and I saw families with more things, and I felt very jealous and envious. And I felt like it was the job of government to even everybody out, to make sure that nobody had more than other people. And what really the toxic part of that mindset was, by the time I was like, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 years old, I started asking myself, well, why should I wait for the government to play middleman and take from other people? Why shouldn't I just do it myself? And that led to a string of really bad life choices. I started off, I was very moral and virtuous. I'm only going to steal from corporations. And that, yeah, my morals quickly decayed on that one. And I ended up committing a lot of property rights violations that I'm just going to leave it at that and say that I'm not proud of now. But because I felt so entitled, because I felt like we were the victims of the system, I felt like I was justified in doing the things that I was doing. And that, although I kind of moved out of that, I in my mid-20s, I stopped doing a lot of those type of things that, knock on wood, I haven't been sent to prison over. And I feel very fortunate for the fact that I was smart enough to avoid multiple instances where I could have gone to prison. But that wasn't... Even though I changed my mindset and stopped, me and my brother started a record label, and that sort of kind of made me lose a little bit of my leftist mentalities. And then I started changing my mind on taxation, and then we actually started getting a little bit of money and started buying, maybe not like houses and real estate property, but started being able to afford nicer studio equipment and being able to afford vehicles, being able to afford a better standard of living for ourselves. And then that kind of changed the way I was thinking about property rights and the idea of property being theft. It's funny how that works. But that was what it was. And then 9/11 happened. And when 9/11 happened, I started like a deep dive into the whole New World Order conspiracy theories. and still very much a victim of the world. Maybe I was doing a little bit better than we were when we were kids, but I still felt like there was these, and maybe I should clarify, sometimes victimhood is real. Sometimes when people feel like they've been victimized, they actually have. Sometimes when people feel like they're being oppressed, they actually are being oppressed. I don't want to completely discount this. The central banks, the way that the fiat monetary system works, I'm very much still, as much as I love making money, I'm still dead set against the idea of central banking and having a fiat currency that is created out of thin air by central bankers who have a government granted monopoly on the creation of money. I trade Federal Reserve notes. I accept them for payment. But I am not happy with the system that underlies them. But anyways, I'm kind of rambling and getting off course. The point is I went from a victim of the rich people to a victim of the New World Order conspiracy theory mindset. And I maybe moved a little bit less of my victimhood mentality, but it was still there. It was still prevalent. And it is in the conspiracy theory world. There's a lot of people that are still stuck in the victimhood mindset. And throughout the show, I'm going to talk about why I think that's so unhealthy. But needless to say, it was not a place where I stayed very long. Doesn't mean that I don't believe in conspiracy theories. I don't believe in most of them, but I do believe in some of them still. I still think that there's a kernel of truth to a couple of them. But I wasn't able to stay living in that shadowy organization of men behind the scenes making my life suck. And I think the biggest reason why is because as I was kind of moving through that phase, I had to deal with this situation that went on with our little sister. I've mentioned her name on air before. I'm not going to right now, but she's got drug dependency issues. She's also got mental health issues. She's been diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia. She, for the longest time, felt like she was a targeted individual. I don't know if you listening right now have ever heard of gang stalking or looked into that, but she was absolutely positive that she was being gang stalked to the point where she thought that me, my sister, my brother, my mom, my dad, we were all in on it. We were helping the gang stalkers. They had somehow been able to buy us off, made crazy accusations of my dad and my brother and my mom, and brought up things that happened when my sister and my other sister were kids, and used those to justify her belief system. But she went off the deep end and got to the point where she didn't believe she was on Earth anymore, that we were all demons or aliens, that were, it got bad. And I watched how unchecked this victimhood mindset, that a lot of the stuff that she believed was coming straight off of these conspiracy theory websites. And watching the victimhood mentality of the conspiracy theory or the conspiracy theorist, watching it take full effect in my little sister really made me back off a lot of the victimhood conspiracy theory mindset that I was still guilty of having myself at the time. So that was kind of where I kind of took a fork in the road, I guess, and went the path less traveled. And here's the thing. Here's what it really comes down to is, on the right, like the conspiracy theorists on the right and the SJWs on the left, both of them see their victimhood as almost virtuous. And when we were growing up, we were taught all the virtues of poverty, that if you were poor, it was because you were a better person than the rich people. And, it's easier to get a camel through the eye of a needle than it is to get a rich a rich person through the gates of heaven because rich people are so evil and poor people are so virtuous. And I still see that. I see that in the conspiracy theorist movement. I see that in the SJW, the social justice warrior movement. A lot of these people wear the badge of victimhood on their arm, like a badge of honor. And it's incredibly unhealthy. And throughout the show, I'm going to talk about more about why it is unhealthy and why it's there. What social or maybe personal, I guess, maybe even epigenetic mental things are under the surface that cause this mentality, and then how people in control kind of manipulate this mentality. And then when we get into the Church of the Invisible Hand, I'm going to take all that information and tell you how to work it into your sales copy. So look forward to that. So that's kind of where I came from. That was the victimhood mindset that really permeated my thinking for the first 25, 28 years of my life. It wasn't until maybe my late 20s, early 30s that I was able to finally break free of seeing myself as a victim. And it's made all the difference. It's made it to where I've been able to do all the things I've been able to do, which maybe aren't like earth-shattering accomplishments, but headed down the path I was going down, I definitely was either headed towards prison or an early grave, and that is not where I'm at now. And in fact, my life is in a much better situation than I ever figured it would have been as a little kid growing up or as a young adult conspiracy theorist. So I'm fortunate that I was able to break out of the victimhood mindset, but a lot of people, I would say the majority of the people out there, still live in this mindset. So coming up right now in the next segment, the Live Free FM Focus on Freedom segment of the show, we're going to talk about why that is and how the powers that be use it to their advantage.
I went from rapping about chemtrails and get more bait to rapping about how business owners can get more pay. Before these status fools, we need tools to defeat them. Live Free FM, Focus on Freedom.
All right, and we're back. This is the Focus on Freedom segment of the show. Like I said, we're going to be talking about the victimhood mindset and how it pretty much permeates every aspect of society. It's not just the social justice warriors and the conspiracy theorists out there that live in victimhood mindset. It's not just like the poverty-stricken people who see themselves as perpetual victims. It goes down all aspects of society, because where on the left, you're told, especially if you grow up poor in a poverty neighborhood, you're told rich people are the villains. They're the ones that have ruined society. The greedy capitalists are destroying the planet, and their greed is making it to where everybody's poor because they're hoarding all the resources, and they're the villains that we need to go after, and they're the reason that your life sucks. On the other hand, though, the right does the same thing. They talk about how it's the Mexicans. The Mexicans are taking your jobs, and the Mexicans are coming to rape your white women and to deal drugs in your community and blah, 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 blah. And the reason that you're unemployed is because the Mexicans took your job. And so it's not just on the left. It's not just in the conspiracy theory movement. The majority of the world loves to live in victimhood mindset reality. They love to play the victim. It's not just one group or one narrow aspect of humanity. It's overall, it's almost everybody that loves to play the victim. And I'll talk more about even myself, where I know that I'm guilty of this as well. But here's the thing. Here's what really scares me about this is when you train people to see themselves as a victim, when you train people to see themselves as you're the spot that you're in life, it's not your fault. It's somebody else's fault. That takes away all your power because you can't change other people. If the reason that your life sucks is some shadowy group of people over there, what can you do about that to make your life better? There's not very much that you can do at all. So feeding into that victimhood mindset and leaving it at that, training people to see themselves as victims, it leaves them powerless. It leaves them unable to take action and improve their own lives. And it trains them to be victims. It leaves them in a place where they're looking for a hero to come in and save them. They're looking for a great man. They're constantly waiting for somebody else. Since it's not their fault that their life sucks, it's not the bad choices, the bad decisions, the bad life decisions that they made that wound them up in the crappy situation they're in. It's other people over there. Then why should it be their responsibility to fix their own lives? And when you're trained that it's not your fault that your life sucks, you're also along with that comes, it's not your responsibility to start looking inward and making changes to make your life better. If the problem is caused from out there, then the solution must also come from out there. And the solution that is sold is that as a victim, you need a hero. You need a Superman. I call this the Superman complex, the idea that Superman is going to sweep down and save you and make your life better. And I suffered from this as a kid. Ideas of winning the lottery to come out of poverty, or ideas of somebody's going to come and make me a rap superstar so that way I don't have to be living poor anymore. Somebody's going to sign me and my brother and we're going to be the next NWA, but the white and Hispanic version of Niggas with Attitude. I say it half joking, but I really did believe that. I felt like somebody was going to sign us. We weren't going to have to take on all the struggles of starting our own record label. Sad to say, reality kind of smacked me in the face and made me realize if you want something done, you need to pull up your pants and do it yourself. And that's kind of part of the reason why I started leaving that mindset. But nonetheless, it's what people believe, and people believe that they're victims, that they need a hero to come save them, that some great man from upon high is going to come and right all the wrongs of the world. And the greater the villain is, the more authoritarian the great man needs to be. The villains of the world, whatever it is, the evil rapist, Mexican, drug dealing, white girl, sex slave trafficking, illegal immigrant, or the rich, greedy, evil capitalist that's polluting the planet and dumping toxic waste into the water supply, whichever villain that you believe it is, if the media or the education system that you were indoctrinated through or the politicians that you follow, whatever villain it is that they can set up for you to hate and blame all of your problems on, the more that they can blow that villain out of proportion, the more that they can make that villain seem larger than life, the more of a threat that they can make that villain seem like as a threat to you and your livelihood, the more of an authoritarian smackdown needs to happen on that villain. And in order for that to happen, the hero, the great man that's going to come in and save the day and right all the wrongs in the world, needs to be just as powerful as the foe that he's facing. And so what that entails is these leaders throughout history that came in and said, I'm going to save you from the Jews. Just give up all of your power and let me start locking mass numbers of people in gas chambers. Or I'm going to save you from the bourgeoisie. Just give up all your property and let us mass murder anybody who's a political dissident. I'm going to save you from whatever. I mean, even like in this recent political election, the Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton side of the table versus the Donald Trump side of the table, both of them were predicated on, there's this group of people, they're going to destroy your way of life. I need the power of government. You need to give me more power And that way I'll be able to stop this imminent threat that's about to destroy the way that you live your comfortable life. And maybe it's just the way that we are. Maybe it's just human nature that it's easier for us to try and change other people than it is to change ourselves. It's easier for us to point the finger at others and try and change the world than it is to look in the mirror and try and change ourselves. Maybe that's just the doom of humanity. That's just part of our nature, and there's nothing that we can do about it. I don't know. Or maybe we're just a victim to human nature. But either way, the media knows how to play off of it. The politicians know how to play off of it. And as you're about to hear in the next part of the show, copywriters, we also know, businessmen, we also know how to play off of this. But here's the standard setup of the media. This is true whether you watch Fox News, it's true if you watch CNN, and it's true if you watch InfoWars or Next News Network or any other alternative media. It's the same thing. The three main messages are: you're so smart, confirmation bias there. They're so evil, the great other that you need to look out for. And the solution is put your faith in a great man and let him have the power of government to deal with the great threat of the evil them, quote unquote. And you saw this with the liberal media. You saw this with the conservative media. And you even saw it with the majority of the alternative media and their support for Donald Trump in this last election. So it's not just the sheeple that fall for this. The woke-ass truth movement falls for it too. And on that note, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back on the other side.
Free minds, free markets, free people.
Are you a liberty-minded entrepreneur, small business owner, agorist, or freelancer? Do you ever struggle in your business and feel like you're all alone in the world? Can you imagine how great it would be if there were a community of freedom-loving business people just waiting to connect with you? Can you keep a secret? There is such a community. Free Market Squad is the online mastermind group for people who are passionate about freedom and success in life. Access to a mastermind group is probably one of the most valuable things you could have in your life, and membership in the Free Market Squad is absolutely free. If you have a Facebook account and you want more information on how to join the Free Market Squad, head on over to www.freemarketsquad.com. That's freemarketsquad.com.
Let me ask you something. Haven't you ever been tempted to just break the rules and finally
get back at my big faceless corporate bosses for making me feel so small and insignificant?
Look at this, Marge. $58 and all of it profit. I'm the smartest businessman in the world.
Government can print money, but it's the entrepreneurs who really make the money.
Why don't you guys just make your cars cleaner and nicer and try to be better to your customers so that you can compete with Handy Car's popularity in the marketplace?
Shut up and take my money.
And we are back, Free Market Squad, in the place to be. Thank you for taking an hour of your week to hang with me. Thank you for letting me get all up in those juicy ear holes. Oh my God, it feels so good to be up in your ear holes. This is Anarchopreneur. I am Nathan Frazier, the host with the Hero Complex, the high priest of propaganda, and I'm going to live up to my name here in the next segment of the show. You, more importantly, you are the Free Market Squad. This is Anarchopreneur. We're broadcasting on the Truth Frequency Radio Network, UCY.TV, LRN.FM. You can also find the show on iHeartRadio. That's kind of shocking. And tune in as well. So you can find us everywhere. And of course, if you love this here podcast and you want to get more, or maybe this is your first time listening, I don't know. You're listening right now, though. And if you want to subscribe to the show, if you want to check out more episodes, you can do that by going to my website, NathanFrazierShow.com. What an egomaniac I am. If you're listening on your on your cell phone and you don't want to go to the show's website, however you're listening, make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss more valuable propaganda like you're going to get in the next segment of the show. And you know what? Without any further ado, let's just go ahead and jump into this week's BYO Boss segment of the show. And we'll get into how, as a marketer, you can take everything that I've been telling you about in the first half of the show and use it to convince people to buy your products in the second half of the show.
For my free market squad members out on the grind, you gotta be your own boss, can't just fall into line. You gotta have a free mind
and hope for the future.
You gotta be the free market
anarchopreneur.
All right, so I'm gonna preface this with a little bit of a warning. First of all, this is some Church of the Invisible Hand type stuff right here. I don't even want to say powerful because that maybe makes it seem too virtuous. I'm just going to say that this is some deep psychological understanding of how people work. And if you understand it, like I said, in the first half of the show, I pointed out how people who would want to use this against you can use it against you. And when I'm talking about how to use this in sales copy in the next part of the show, I'm not going to be talking about how to use this against people. I'm going to assume that whatever it is that you're selling, it's something that you believe in. It's something that you believe will help improve the lives of the people that buy it. And I'm going to leave that up to you. But I'm going to go into it fully admitting that these understandings can be used to manipulate. I spent the whole first half of the show showing how they can be used to manipulate people. I'm not going to skirt around the fact. I'm not going to try and, put some makeup on or lipstick on a pig. I'm going to say, yes, this can be used to manipulate people. I typically say, if you use these tactics to bring somebody to a position where they feel good about it, where they are happy that both you and them walk away from the transaction feeling like your life, both of your lives were improved, then that's persuasion. But if you use it to get somebody to do something that they wouldn't want to do or that they're not happy with, then it's manipulation. I'm pretty sure that a lot of politicians that use this type of stuff, I'm pretty sure that a lot of political activists and college professors that use these manipulation techniques to what I would consider manipulate people, I'm pretty sure that they probably think that they're doing it, or at least a good amount of them probably think they're doing it for the better interest of the people that they're manipulating. So I can't really add that explanation to what I'm about to explain. Allow myself to introduce myself. Anyways, so I'm just going to come out and say that these things can be used to manipulate people. If you're a shady salesperson, you can use these techniques to get people to buy things that they're not happy with. You can use it to sell snake oil to people. That's up to you. This is the way human beings work. I'm not going to work against it. I've got stuff to sell. I've got lives to make better. I understand how people make their decisions. I'm going to use that knowledge to help, in my opinion, bring people to make the best decision for themselves. But I'm not going to sugarcoat it and pretend like this information can't be used to bring people to making a decision that they would regret. Like I said, this is just how humans work. This is how I work. And this is probably knowledge that maybe most people shouldn't have. And by you tuning in, I'm going to trust that you're going to use it to better humanity rather than to manipulate and control humanity. But again, all I can do is put it out there and you do with it what you will. And I'm going to, I guess, just have to trust you. So, like I said, we all do this. We all play the victim. We all look for villains. We all look for ways to appear virtuous. And even me, even somebody who understands this and tries my best not to fall for it and tries my best not to use it to manipulate people, I can think of instances in my life, not in sales, because I make a conscious effort not to in sales, I'm kind of emotionally unattached to the selling process, but I can say that there have been situations in my life where I had a messy breakup with a girl, and the first thing instinctually that I wanted to do was with mutual friends or with family members or with people that maybe were closer to me in the friendship arena with this person or these people, these girls in the past. Oftentimes the first instinctive reaction is to try and paint myself as the victim. Oh, she did me wrong like this. Oh man, I can't believe I put up with this. Oh, and that's not even all. Wait until you hear this other thing that she did. I'm guilty of that. And in the last maybe 4 or 5 relationships that I've had go south, I haven't done that in, but it's been something that I've had to consciously suppress. And maybe it even did leak out a little bit, and I just wasn't able to put full control on it. Also, a lot of times we try to say, well, especially if we're caught, if we're in the wrong, we try to get defensive. We try to explain the virtues of why we did what we did. Yeah, maybe it looks bad, but it's not what it looks like because, say, somebody got caught cheating. We weren't having sex for, we were only having sex like once a month for the last year. And she was ignoring my needs. And if she would have just, or the chick on the other hand, if he would have just paid more attention to me, if he would have just taken out the trash more often, I wouldn't have gone looking for somebody else to fulfill my needs. It's his fault. I'm the virtuous one. He's the villain, or I'm the virtuous one. She's the villain. In emotional situations, it's what we all do. We all try to make ourselves appear more virtuous than we were, and we try to blame somebody else and make them look like the villain. And I have been guilty of this. I'm man enough to admit that I have been guilty of this. And if you're being honest with yourself, you've been guilty of this too, which means all these things that I'm talking about, like I said, even if you're in the elite, I think outside of the box, I'm logical. I'm part of the truth movement. I understand things way better than the average sheeple does. These logical fallacies don't work on me. Bullshit. They don't, because you're a human being just like the rest of us, and you're just as guilty of using these tactics subconsciously and falling for these tactics as anybody else out there is. So that out of the way, I'm just going to say it's not the ideal situation. It's not what I wish people were like. It's not what I wish I was like, but it is what it is. And as a marketer, as a salesperson, I don't have the ideal customer to work with. I don't have the logic-based, non-emotional customer that I can just lay out all the features and give a technical description of what the product does, and that be good enough to make them want to buy it or to convince them that it's the right product for them. That's not what we're working with. We're working with what humans are, not what we wish humans could be. And so I work with what is, not against what is. And I can't remember off the top of my head, but there's a famous copywriter that says, join the conversation that's already going on in your prospect's mind. And I'm a huge proponent of this in activism. If you're trying to bring people over to your way of thinking, to attack them, to tell them how stupid they are, to tell them that they're wrong, to tell them that that everything they believe is incorrect, that's not going to win them over. But if you can find overlap with them, if you can, everybody's got one or two key issues where they understand how bad authoritarianism is. If they're an atheist, they understand how horrible it is when theocrats get into authoritarian positions of power. If they're a Christian, then they understand how bad it is when atheist leftists get into power. If you're a homeschooler, you might be, full on in support of the military, but you understand how bad the education system is. If you're a hippie, you might understand how horrible the military is, but you're full on in support of free education. So everybody's got that. When you're trying to bring people over to the ideas of liberty, everybody's got those one or two issues, whether it's chemtrails or fluoride or vaccines or public education or gross misappropriations of spending in the military industrial complex. Everybody's got that area where you can find some overlap with them, and it's a lot easier to get them to follow you along the path to where you want them to understand where you're at. If you start off by letting them know that you understand where they're at, seek first to be understood. No. Seek first to understand, then to be understood. And that's kind of what's going on in sales copy. When you want to join the conversation that's already going on in the prospect's mind, you want to let them know, hey, I understand where you're coming from and I agree with you. And by the end of this conversation, hopefully you'll agree with me. So like I said, if you can start in agreement, it's a lot easier to end in agreement. And ending in agreement means, hey, buy this product or buy this service or hire me to do this for you. But in order to get that agreement at the end, you definitely need to start off with agreement. And the best way, or one of the best ways to do that, and one very key aspect of copywriting, is to identify the villains and the virtues that you share in common. The villains that you and your prospect, your hopeful client, your hopeful customer, the villains that they see in the world, and the virtues that they hold dear to their heart. And you want to be able to know. You want to know who is it that they fear? Who is it that they blame? What is it that keeps them up at night? What is it that they're terrified of? And what is it that they hold dear to their heart? What is it that they want to accomplish? What is it that their desired end goal is? What are their dreams? What are their desires? You want to be able to know those things. So like I said, most people see themselves as a victim. And you need to understand that when you start your sales copy, you need to understand that most people see themselves as a victim and they don't want to be victimized again, but they want to be understood. And so that means you can't start off your sales copy by blaming them. So if they're a fatty, you can't start off by being like, hey, fatty, are you sick and tired of being fat because you eat too much junk food? That's not the way to start off the conversation, because you're going to immediately put them on the defense. So you got to give them somebody else to blame. You got to say, are you sick and tired of failing diet after diet plan and not getting the results that you want? And even better than that is not putting the blame on them, or not even putting the negativity on them at all. Instead of saying, are you sick and tired of this, start it off by saying, you know, I was just sick and tired of failing diet plan after diet plan. I tried this one. I'd lose the weight. It was like a yo-yo. I'd gain the weight back. I tried another one. I tried an exercise routine. Nothing I tried seemed to work. That way they feel it. They feel like they're a victim just like you. But they don't have to look in the mirror when you're describing the problem. It kind of separates it. It puts the negativity of the situation on you rather than them. And then when you go back and you start painting the positive picture, you put all of the positives on them. But make sure that I try to. When I'm painting the negative side, I try to say, this is what I remember. This is why I was so frustrated. Maybe you can relate. Maybe you've been there before, but this is how I felt. And I remember it so clearly. And it was so frustrating. So address the fact that they feel like a victim, but maybe without pointing the finger at them, without blaming them. And that brings us into the villain aspect, which is they do need somebody to blame. If it's not their fault, and like I said, this is not the ideal situation. This is not what is a healthy situation to be in. It's not a healthy mindset to feel like a victim and to be blaming other people, but that's where people are. And if you're going to get them to victory, you have to start where they're at, which is in victimhood mindset. So you have to meet them where they're at, even though it's not the ideal place to leave them, which is my problem with politicians and mainstream media, is they leave them there. They tell them, yes, you're the victim. Yes, they're the villains. Go ahead and keep thinking that. I'm not like that. I might meet you there. And even if I disagree with you, or maybe I do agree with you, like I said, there are some people that are actually victimizers out there. There are people that actually are oppressive out there. So just because somebody feels like they're the victim doesn't mean that they're not legitimately a victim. But if there is a villain to blame, give them that villain. Or if they already have a villain in their mind that they believe is to blame, confirm that for them. Let them know. Yeah, I totally see that. I totally see how that other person just screwed you right there, because that's the only way that you're going to be. You have to meet them where they're at if you want to get them to where they need to be. It sucks. I know it sounds manipulative, but that's how people are. They're not going to take the journey with you if you don't start with the same same starting point where they're at. So you have to meet them where they're at. You have to give them a villain. You have to confirm their suspicions about the villain that they have already put up in their mind. The difference is your goal is to take them from that victimhood to victory. But again, you still have to start where they're at to get them there. Now, virtues is the last one. Virtues is you need to know what their goals are. You need to know what their desires are. You need to know what their virtues are. You need to let them know that you share those same goals. You share those same desires. You want to see that for them. If they're a fatty boobaladdy, you want to see them as the thin, cut, six-pack abs, beauty, beach body beauty that they want to be. You want to see them that way. That's what their value is. That's what their virtue is. And you want to help them get there. And you can help them get there if you can. If you can't, if you're just selling people snake oil, you should probably get a new product to sell, because you're the reason why people hate capitalists. You're the reason why people hate marketers. Just putting that out there. But you need to know what their dreams are, what their goals are. And you need to let them know that you share those dreams, you share those goals, and you want to help make those dreams and those goals a reality for them. So, like I said, it's not the ideal situation, but in order to get people to the point where they're willing to take action, to get them to the point where they're willing to start moving forward, you have to start where they're at. If you're going to get them to the ultimate destination of victory, you have to start where they're at, which is victimhood. You have to start by addressing that. You have to start by addressing the villains, and then you have to go into identifying the values and painting the picture that allows them to see those values for themselves. And once they've been able to move out of that victimhood mindset into the value mindset, it's a lot easier to get them to start taking steps in the right direction. So you might say, oh, well, this works for weight loss supplements, the fatties out there, because, you know, obviously, you've probably actually even seen this. Are you tired of being fat and overweight? Well, guess what? It's not your fault. The reason that you're fat is actually because all of the corn subsidies and all of the food industries actually put addictive chemicals in their food to make you buy more. And it's their fault that America is so fat. Which, again, might be true. I'm not a food expert, but I definitely watch the things that people put in their grocery carts, and I can see a correlation between junk food and super fat people, and I can understand that there probably is, maybe not in every single instance, but there probably is some stuff in the food that makes people addicted to it. There probably is some stuff in the food. I know that corn is a filler food, and it is in a lot of the food. So that is true. But it's not just that. Inside of the truth movement, we got the gold bugs out there. And who's their villain? Well, it's the Federal Reserve and the central bankers and the fiat monetary system. Again, legitimate villain, but you have to address it in your advertising. You have to let the gold bugs out there know that you understand that you share a common villain in the Federal Reserve. Another example, Water filter salesman. There's a humble water filter salesman from Austin, Texas. Does a radio show where he tells people all about all the fluoride in the water and all the chemtrails up in the air coming down and into the water and the heavy metals and toxins. And you gotta identify that villain. Let them know, yeah, there is a villain. There's a reason why your water's so unhealthy for you. Again, might be true. I'm not a water expert, but from what I've been able to look at, there is some legitimacy to it, but you got to identify that villain in order to get people to know that you're on board with them, that you're on the same side with them. You have to identify that you see the same villain, that you have the same values, that yes, you've been a victim to the fluoride company. Yes, you've been a victim to the evil food companies. And this is the villain. This is the person that's to blame. And you've been a victim to the inflationary practices of the central bankers. This is who's to blame. Now here's our values. We want prosperity. We want health. We want you to be thin. We want you to have healthy water. Here's how you get that. We share a victim, or we understand that you're a victim. We share the villain with you, and we also share a value with you. And here's how you can get to victory. And I'm guilty of this as well. In the in Podcast Blastoff, my own personal company that I own, I try to get people to podcast, and I try to identify with podcasters out there. Hey, you know, mainstream media is garbage, and you've got a message that's more important and probably wouldn't be allowed on mainstream media. And we both have a common villain in the mainstream media, or maybe it's mainstream advertising. We've got a common enemy in the people that run the mainstream advertising, but you can get your message out there, and podcasting can help you. And I want to help you get your message is important, and I want to help you get it out there. We got the same villain. We got the same values. And here's how you can get to victory. It's called Podcast Blastoff. So I use this myself. Same thing with Free Market Squad. Free Market Squad is a bunch of anarcho-preneurs, anarcho-capitalists, business owners, people that want to be their own boss. They don't want to be stuck to the chains of the traditional 9-to-5 workplace. And so who are our villains? Well, our villains are middle management at our corporate jobs, or the regulators that are trying to hold us back and keep us from being able to succeed in business, or the tax man who wants to take all of our money, or the socialists who also want to take our businesses, take the factories that we built and steal them from us and put us in our work camps and give our factories over to the workers who didn't put in an ounce of energy into building the business up into what it became. We have our common villains in the Free Market Squad. So it can be real villains. I mean, in my opinion, the mainstream media is horrible. They're definitely deserving of the title villain. In my opinion, the IRS is definitely deserving of the title villain. The regulators out there, and when you look into like things like regulatory capture and how lobbyists quickly buy up all the regulators, yeah, they're definitely deserving of the title villain. So sometimes the villains are true. A lot of times the villains are true. And this especially works if the villain is true, if you don't have to make up a villain. And I would say that in any industry and in anything that you're trying to sell, there probably is a legitimate villain out there. You need to be able to identify that. You need to be able to understand who your prospect sees as the villain, and you need to be able to latch onto that and to let them know that you're on the same page as they are. It's not just manipulating. It's oftentimes being honest, letting them know that you share their villains with them, you share their values with them, and once you've established that you share villains and values, you can take them from a mindset of victimhood into a mindset of victory. And that's what it's all about. Oh, man. I hope that wasn't too long-winded. If it wasn't, if you enjoyed this show, you can always find more over at NathanFraserShow.com. subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. I will love you forever for it. Until next time, Free Market Squad, faith in each other, not in authority. Be your own boss. Hashtag BYO boss. I am out of here. Deuces.
Free minds, free markets, free people.
Hey, you. Yeah, you. You like listening to podcasts, don't you? Have you ever thought about starting a podcast of your own? If you're a hardcore podcast fan, you probably have, and you've probably got something great to share with the world. I'm Nathan Frazier, and I've created a free online podcasting course for people just like you. Pre-Launch Secrets gives you the top 5 secrets you need to know in order to launch a successful podcast. You'll learn how to create the core concept of your podcast, how to build a solid audience, and how to consistently generate great content for that audience. These are the secrets the pros use when coming up with ideas for their podcasts. And after this course, you'll have them all at your disposal. The course is free. It's taught by me. Enroll today. Go to podcastblastoff.com/course. That's podcastblastoff.com/course. Podcast Blastoff, the future of podcasting.